Will you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32? Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. In many ways, this is one of the most saddest chapters in the Bible. One of the sad chapters because Israel, the Hebrews, had had an amazing deliverance from the hands of Pharaoh. The Lord had gone wonderfully before them. He had rescued them from their bondage, from their captivity in Egypt. The Lord had shown his favor to his people. He was urging them to choose him and him only. And then he calls Moses to go up the mount. So Moses does go up the mountain and leaves the Hebrews. Joshua went part of the way with him. We don't know how far. But the rest, including Aaron, were left behind. And of course, we know from Exodus 20 and the chapters following that, that the reason Moses was going up, he was to get the tablets, the commandments. God was going to speak to Moses, as it were, face to face, although, of course, it was a dreadful time in as much to meet the living God. But God was saying to Moses, I want a people who choose to love and to obey me. I don't want a people who go after false gods. I don't want them to be like the Egyptians. I don't want them to be like the surrounding nations, the surrounding people. I want them to be a special people for my glory. It's not because they are special in themselves. It's not because they're particularly good looking. It's not because they've done great things. This is my sovereign love, my sovereign choice. So Moses is receiving the words from the Lord himself. But he was gone for some time. Indeed, Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18 tells us that he was gone for almost 6 weeks. 40 days and 40 nights Moses had gone. So now the people left behind, the Hebrews, the Israelites, left behind down at the bottom of the mount, would be getting panicky. Has Moses run off? Has he died? Has he forgotten about us? This is too long. This is too long. Well, friends, sometimes we think, Lord, you are tarrying. You are taking your time. I've been crying out to you. I've sought to seek and to serve you with my heart, my love. But you're taking your time. At such times, if we have committed something to the Lord, if we've saying, Lord, yes, I am proving you, I am trusting you, I believe that you are my Father, my God, and I believe you want to give me good things that will be for your glory and that will bless others. I believe that you are going to grant my request. Because you have said you will give such things as our faith will just be enlarged. My God can do anything. Anything that is not against his will and perfection, he can do. He can move the mountains. He can bring the healing. He can bring a financial breakthrough. He can change the stubborn, rebellious hearts. He can set the captive free. He can do anything. So if you're tarrying for that, please don't do. I speak to myself. Don't do what the Hebrews did and say, well, he's forgotten. He hasn't, perhaps he didn't mean it when he said, love the Lord with all of your heart. Have no other gods before me. Don't be tempted to go elsewhere to get an answer. Don't be tempted to create something else in place of your God. Let's read this chapter and may God speak to us. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountains, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the gold earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Now, just let me break off. We may obviously imagine that this gold calf which was created was the size of a calf. It may just been a very miniature thing. Indeed, from excavations which were made in the last century, in the 1900s, some golden calves, Egyptian gods, were found, and they were quite small. And I can imagine that the Israelites, Aaron and others, would have put it on a pedestal. It doesn't matter what size it was, whether it was a big thing or a small thing, it was still a treacherous idol. And how solemn that these people, Aaron, said, "This is the one who's led us out." These false idols, these false gods who have ears but they cannot hear, noses but they cannot smell, mouths but they cannot speak, they can't even walk, they have no breath in them, but these are the things that have taken us out of Egypt. Lord, keep us, keep me, from deception and from turning our backs on you. You are the living Lord God. There is no God besides you. Hallelujah. Worship him only. Even when you haven't got the answers that you want, they will come. Even if it's a different answer to what you were looking for, God is your Father. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Verse 6. And then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." Thank God for intercessors. Intercessors and the sovereign work of the Lord, they go hand in hand. True intercession, intercessors are seeking to move with what God is wanting to do, and that he will fulfill his plans in the lives of people and on earth. Intercessors get near to the throne of the Lord. They cooperate with the Lord himself, his work is done. God is looking for intercessors even today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want God's glory? Do you want God's work done in your life, in the life of this fellowship? To hear from him regarding the expansion of this building? To hear what he wants us to do in the neighborhoods? Get close to the Lord. Your will be done. We hear what his will is. Because we have got serious about hearing from the Lord. The Lord relented. What blessings may be God is withholding from you and from me? What blessings may be God is withholding from this fellowship because we haven't been on our knees enough? So we've been on our knees, maybe, but we've been seeking things for our own gratification, to please me, rather than what is pleasing to you, Lord. And we know he longs to give his provisions and blessing. He longs to make a way in your life and the life of this fellowship where seemingly there's no way. We're reading about a great God. A jealous God, a holy God, a God who will have no rivals. He will not have a rival reigning in your heart. If you're his, he won't have it. He may have to do some stripping. He may have to root out, cut off some branches, just so that you and myself and this fellowship can be right with him, where he reigns, where he is Lord, where he reveals his plans. He wants to say to you this morning, where there is no way, I will make a way. Is there anything too hard for me? There is nothing too hard, nothing too difficult. May we stir ourselves up individually as families and as a fellowship to seek his face. And where there have been idols, where we've erected something our way, or we've become too attached to something which is taking our affection away from the Lord Jesus, where we haven't thought eternal but just thought only in temporal ways, may we be willing to do what Moses did and say, Lord, have mercy. Give this people an opportunity. Give me an opportunity now to say, sorry, Lord. This church, the opportunity to say, sorry, Lord. It's your way, not mine. Be glorified. Time short. I'm going to redeem the time because I know the days are evil. I want to be more on my knees. I want this church, this fellowship to be more on their knees. God will not ignore the one who's calling the church that is serious about hearing from him. He wants to speak. I know for myself that I can do too much speaking in prayer and not enough hearing. Holy Spirit, prompt me, prompt this church, Lord. We've got a glorious future, a challenging future, a testing, but we've got a glorious future. Hear from the Lord. You'll notice in the program that in a week's time we've got another day when we hope that the fellowship will be able to pray and fast. The church may be open during the day at different times, that we can also just come and wait before the Lord or outside or whatever, as well as coming together. That's Wednesday the 11th of December. And if there's something which seems immovable in your life, in your family, in your circumstances, in your neighborhood, hey, get before God again. Don't give up. Don't say, where are you, Lord? Well, I'll do it my way now. I'll see help from somewhere else, as these Israelites, as these Hebrews did. It's the Lord and the Lord only. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the miracle. He's your Father. He's the one who says, come to me. Come to me. He's a God without limits, except the limits he imposes upon himself that he cannot sin. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. What a good God we serve. Verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, and on the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I do hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So it can't have been a too small a thing. Anyway, carry on. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And this calf came out. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, and the Egyptians and other cultures at that time, when it talks about unrestrained, these Hebrews, these Israelites were engaging in terrible activities. They weren't just worshipping these idols. They would have been engaging in wrong activity with each other. There would be an activity of, no doubt, of a sexual nature going on. This was deeply grievous to Moses and the Lord. And that's why it says that they had become corrupted. They were unrestrained. But Aaron had not restrained them. What a responsibility even the leaders of a household have, the men of the house. And the leaders in the church. We have God-given responsibilities not to let things get out of hand, but make sure we're operating under the principles of the Lord. He gives us many godly, wise principles in the Word, how to lead our families, how to lead the church. And if we deter from that route, if we make a diversion, we're in trouble. Aaron did not exercise godly leadership. He gave in to the wishes of the people. Then, verse 26, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Sin has to be got rid of. Sin will contaminate the rest. Sin's serious business. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother. Friends, there's coming a day. Jesus speaks about a day, and I believe it's fast approaching for even us in this nation, for the people of God, the true followers in the West. The day is coming when we will have to turn against our brother, against our sister. I mean the natural brother, sister, son, daughter. We will, as the script Jesus said, we will have to hate. In other words, Jesus is too precious. Even if we have to say to family, I am sorry, my eternal destiny is at stake. I cannot forsake the Lord. Even if you kill me, even if I'm handed to the authorities, Christ is coming first. However much I may love you as my brother, as my father, as my son, as my daughter, as my sister, it's got to be Jesus. And when we have that attitude, when the Lord gives his spirit to us, that we say, it's nothing else but Jesus. He gives us the grace to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. These are they which will be washed by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. We may go through tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Our faith in such a great God, a God without limits. And he says, we heard the scripture read or quoted just now. If you find yourself on your own, if you find yourself before the courts, if you find yourself cast out from family because of your love for me, friend, do not let your unsaved partner, daughter, son, granddad, husband, wife, whatever, dictate to you how you are following the Jesus Christ. You will have choices to make in these days. Lord is saying, as he said to Moses, consecrate yourself to me. Hallelujah. Choose this day whom you will follow. I want to have that heart. So, well, as for me, and I pray for my household, we're going to serve the Lord. But even if they don't, I will. I will. This church will. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Even when you're pulled up to give an answer for your convictions, to give an answer because of your testimony, I, Jesus says, God says, I will give you the words to speak. Don't worry. Don't worry. You see the birds? Your very hairs of your head are numbered. The birds, the sparrows, I know them. Don't you think I'm going to watch out for you? And even if they can take your flesh away and destroy your flesh, they cannot destroy your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. We're safe with Jesus. Choose him first. Verse 30, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin, so now I will go up to the Lord, perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Oh friends, we're living in the new covenant. Christ has made atonement for our sin. Once and once only has he borne our sin on the cross. And he was able to say, that's enough, that is sufficient. You are now at one with me, the Lord says. My blood has cleansed and washed you through. Verse 31, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now if you will forgive their sin, But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel which shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Verse 31, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. Realize I've not preached the sermon that I thought I would be preaching, but I pray God has led me. All I will say is this, friends. If you go into a store like W.H. Smith, you'll see many, many books. You'll see lots of books. You'll see books if you're interested in sport. There's any number of books on the various sports. If you're interested in philosophy, if you're interested in the science, there's books on self-help, how to do this, that and t'other. There's loads and loads of books in any bookstore. But there's one book you will not find there. It's not because it isn't a bestseller, or it hasn't been written, but you won't find that book in W.H. Smith or any other bookseller. What book is that? The Book of Life. You won't find the Book of Life there, but it has been written. Our challenge this morning is your name in the Book of Life. This is the first reference to the Book of Life in the Scriptures. There are other references to the Book of Life, particularly in Revelation, but in Ephesians as well, and one or two other places. It's your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it is, we will want to please him. We'll want to say, Lord, all that contaminates, all that is of flesh which is filthy and dirty, Lord, help me to die to. Help me, O Lord, to lay it down. Yield myself, surrender myself to you. If you have loved me with an everlasting love, what can I do now, Lord, to show you my love, to show you my devotion, to serve you and to make yourself known to others that their names indeed will be in this book of life. Friends, let me conclude with this. The other week we, in our Bible study, looked at the judgments of Christ, and in Philip's sermon of last week, as it was in the days of Noah, the need for preparedness, the needs to understand what God's will is and so on, and to be right with God and to serve him wholeheartedly in the power of the Holy Spirit and serve him together. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. And this is preparation time. We've got an eternity in front of us. We do need to redeem the time. Those who are members or are seeking to become members of this fellowship will not believe or agree with universalism. If you're a universalist, you have no place in this church or this fellowship. There's the Lamb's Book of Life. There's the Book of Death. All those names who are not in the Book of Life, after they have been condemned at the white throne of judgment, will have an eternity of suffering. There's no second chance. There's one particular scripture which is very, very difficult, and there's been over 500 interpretations of it found in Peter, where when Jesus died on the cross, it says he preached to the spirits of the dead, he went to those who perished in Noah. I personally believe I have to take scripture for what it says. You see, Christ died on the Wednesday and he rose again on the Sunday, 3 days and three nights. He died the day before the high feast, the high Sabbath. So he had 3 days and three nights. And it says that on those 3 days and three nights, he went to Hades. He went to the place of the dead and he preached. And all we can say is that for those who perished in the flood, he gave them another opportunity. It was a one-off. It was a one-off. After death, there is judgment. There is no second chance. Please, Lord, don't block my name out. I want to be in your book of life and enjoy the pleasures of Christ forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Praise be to his word. Hallelujah. Let's just come before him now in a moment's silence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just be quiet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Make me wholly yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. What love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. If we're children of God, our names are in the book of life. We must not blot the names out by our own sin and disobedience, and no one else can blot your name out, friends. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of that wonderful, that Psalm 139. How precious are your thoughts to me, O Lord. How precious to me are your thoughts. Psalm 100, I'm just continuing our attitude of prayer and let the Lord speak to us. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The Lord is saying, I knew you before time began. I even know how many hairs are on your head. You are created in my image. Not only have I got plans for you, I'm giving you the giftings, the talents that are needed to fulfill them. The Lord is saying, whatever I give to you, no man can take them away. He's saying, do not neglect them, but stir the gift up daily, for that is needed in these last days. He says, rest assured, I've started that good work in you. I'm going to finish it. The Lord is saying, what I begin, I always complete. My word to you is forever settled in the heavens. My commitment to you is unending. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. In this life, you'll have challenges. The Lord is saying, be of good cheer, for I have robbed Satan of his power to hurt and destroy you. The world and its power cannot destroy you.
When you're in trouble, remember I am a very present help. Will you give me your burdens and I will sustain you? When you're weighed down with the pressures of life, lean on me, for I will be your rock, I will be your fortress, your deliverer and your strength. I will be your healer. And even though you may fall from time to time, you won't be destroyed because I'm holding you. My arms, my everlasting arms, are underneath you. Delight yourself in my word, and you will be fruitful. You will prosper in all that you do.